Helen Thomas has been a member of the White House press corps since 1961 and has covered every U.S. president since John F. Kennedy. Under the current administration, she's persona non grata in the briefing room and has shifted from reporter to columnist and author. Tonight, she's the subject of a documentary profile on HBO, a profile produced and directed by Rory Kennedy, the youngest child of Robert F. Kennedy. TV critic David Bianculli has this review.
This new HBO profile of former United Press International Wire reporter Helen Thomas has a lot of neat angles to it. It's produced and directed by Rory Kennedy, whose uncle, John F. Kennedy, was the first president Thomas covered as a reporter for UPI. And in this documentary, called Thank You, Mr. President, Helen Thomas at the White House, the woman who covered nine presidents doesn't ask questions, she answers them. Thank You, Mr. President is a great subject for a documentary, and it's telling that it's presented by HBO rather than one of the broadcast networks. Maybe the networks just felt too close to the subject or didn't want to offend the White House. It's just as likely, though, that it's because Helen Thomas in this documentary is just like Helen Thomas in the White House briefing room, brazenly outspoken. One segment of Thank You, Mr. President illustrates this perfectly. It begins with Thomas appearing on CNN, interviewed by Wolf Blitzer, about her very unflattering quoted remark about President George W. Bush. Then it shifts to Thomas at the daily White House press briefing, jousting with Press Secretary Dana Perino about civilian casualties in Iraq, an exchange that is repeated, then ridiculed, by Bill O'Reilly. And finally, to finish the segment, Rory Kennedy asks Thomas about the liberal media, and sparks another unvarnished exchange.
You said, this is the worst president ever. He is the worst president in all of American history.
I never said that on the record, but it certainly got out.
It got out.
Yes. I think that that there's a room for improvement.
On the Pinhead front, far-left Washington correspondent Helen Thomas put forth that the American military is targeting civilians in Iraq, and got scolded for it.
Helen, I find it really unfortunate that you use your front row position bestowed upon you by your colleagues to make such statements. It is an honor and a privilege to be in the briefing room, and to suggest that we at the United States are killing innocent people is just absurd and very offensive.
Do you know how many we have since the start of the war?
How many? We are going after the enemy, Helen. To the extent that any innocent Iraqis have been killed, we have expressed regret for it.
Well, regret? It doesn't bring back a life.
Pinhead label for Helen Thomas? I think so.
Do you think there's a liberal bias in the press?
Hell no. I want to find one fellow liberal. I'm dying to find another liberal. Open their mouths. Where are they?
This documentary covers a lot of ground, almost too quickly. It's more like a greatest hits overview than an in-depth deconstruction. But we do learn a lot of interesting facts about Helen Thomas herself. How her parents, who emigrated from Syria in the 1890s, could neither read nor write. How Helen, as a teenager, got hooked on journalism by getting her first byline in a high school newspaper. And how, on an appearance on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, she is honest and objective enough to say regarding the entire White House press corps, all presidents hate us. Under questioning by Rory Kennedy, Helen Thomas apologizes for the way she and her White House colleagues reported Watergate, because it took Washington Post reporters Woodward and Bernstein, whom she calls outsiders, to break the story. But while she expresses dismay that Bill Clinton had to answer so many mortifyingly personal questions during the Monica Lewinsky scandal, she doesn't apologize for asking them. You had to write it, she says of that story. Vintage news clips give us a taste of the reporter's close proximity to presidents and history, and also touches on other issues. For example, how the role of women in the press corps has changed over the decades, and how reporting itself has changed over that same period. Not just technologically, but attitudinally. What's missing from Thank You, Mr. President, are other voices. No former presidents or fellow reporters are asked about Thomas, and no presidential historians or media critics are asked to put her in perspective. Also, oddly, there's no mention of or questions about the man known as Jeff Gannon, the right-wing blogger and fake correspondent given access for years by the Bush White House. Clearly, there's a bigger and better documentary waiting to be made here, one about the history of the White House press corps itself, one that would cover not only Helen Thomas and Jeff Gannon, but Sam Donaldson and Dan Rather. But for now, we have Thank You, Mr. President. It's a good place to start. But like so many narratives involving the White House, there's a lot more digging to do and a lot more story to tell.
David Bianculli writes about television for TVWorthWatching.com and Broadcasting and Cable Magazine. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org.
Big TV networks are watching their overall ratings go down, even as cable audiences are growing. And cable has been featuring an increasing number of dramas, comedies, and hit reality shows. The USA Network is leading the pack as the number one cable channel. The person who's made this happen is Bonnie Hammer. She runs USA as well as the Sci-Fi Channel and the studio that produces a lot of their original programming. NPR's Kim Masters has this profile.
There are hundreds of channels to choose from on television these days, so which one is the USA Network? If you know, that's a victory for Bonnie Hammer. If you don't, USA has a pretty eclectic mix. From wrestlers on WWE Raw,
300-pounder,
can he do it?
Yes!
John Cena!
To mild-mannered, obsessive-compulsive detective, Monk.
That's a new rug. Don't just stand on it. You have to keep moving.
Moving?
So it doesn't wear out in one place.
Oh, you mean like this?
Maybe wider circles.
Okay, I'm just going to stand over here.
Like other cable channels, USA still runs old movies and repeats. But USA also has come up with an extraordinary string of original hits. Monk, Psych, In Plain Sight, Burn Notice, and Law & Order Criminal Intent. And a new program based on last year's successful miniseries, The Starter Wife, will premiere in October.
It's over. You give it your best shot.
Best shot? I work 24/7 making sure that Kenny Kagan never has to remember or do anything that he doesn't want to do, and I do it all with perfect hair!
These hit shows make USA the number one channel in cable. Bonnie Hammer is the one who got it there. She took over in 2004, having already produced results at the Sci-Fi Channel with shows like Battlestar Galactica. One of her first moves at USA was giving the network a stronger brand identity.
We wanted a place that didn't feel, as research had told us, yeah, USA is predictable, but it kind of feels like a nicely worn-in old shoe.
Hammer wanted USA to stand for something in the minds of viewers. That meant a new logo and a new tagline.
USA, characters welcome.
Characters welcome may be vague, but Hammer says it helps define original programming on the network.
Is there a central character? Is this character slightly flawed but upbeat? We wanted it to be blue skies, not frothy necessarily like Baywatch, but to have an upbeat aspirational tone.
Hammer says having this filter helps her executives come up with shows that are right for USA.
Once we had parameters, the projects that were coming in were better because people weren't just accepting pitches from everyone about anything. They could judge good writing, but they had no idea whether it was going to fit.
They've won pretty much every quarter in primetime. They've won every year. They're at the top of the cable ratings heap day in and day out.
Journalist Anthony Krupe is with the trade publication Media Week. He says the big challenge now is figuring out how to keep it up. Hammer knows how easy it would be to make a mistake. Her executive team may be high on the network's ratings success and yet a little low on self-esteem. When Emmy nominations were announced recently, rival AMC picked up 16 nominations for the critical darling Mad Men, an edgy period piece about Ad Men in the 60s. Mad Men's low ratings would be unacceptable on USA, but 16 nominations for just one show. USA squeezed out four for all of its shows.
What USA, what I call the kids at USA, really, 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 really want is the numbers that we get, but want to be embraced like Mad Men was embraced.
And those urges can lead to risky behavior. Journalist Anthony Krupe.
There's always the danger in TV that anytime you have success, you tinker with the formula. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them throwing more money at more A-list personalities.
Hammer isn't necessarily opposed to chasing a name, but USA is known for controlling its budgets and for believing that TV shows make stars, not the other way around. So when she met with her staff on a July morning, the day after the Emmy nominations were announced,
now we have to figure out what we do next.
Hammer kept the focus on doing better among the relatively young demographic that advertisers pursue, not on getting buzz, but on improving the ratings.
We do extraordinarily well, but that's definitely kind of the target for the next couple of series. What will be our Mad Men but with ratings?
Jackie DeCrinis, who's responsible for developing original series, has an idea.
Men will watch romance, you know, if there's frontal nudity.
I think it's totally appropriate.
Let's put that on the list or something to at least look at.
But no, seriously, whether it's sexier, a little darker, which Jeff knows I'm the one to say, not dark, but edgier, not sure.
The meeting turns to Royal Pains, a show in development about a doctor to the rich in the Hamptons.
Where's the edge, or where's the sex, or where's the...
Well, I think that will ultimately come from the stories we choose to tell. Because it's the rich and famous of the Hamptons, she could be a beautiful, sexy model in a compromised position that might have a medical story behind it.
That may not sound quite like Mad Men, but Hammer makes it clear to her staff. USA isn't putting prestige ahead of ratings.
It would seem that because we have the level of success that we have, that we could take the risk and afford the critical acclaim piece and the one rating. We can't.
When USA has a flop, she says, the network won't get credit for taking a risk.
Frankly, I don't want to be here when we have our first failure because I'm enjoying the ride of the success.
Which might mean that USA treads with some caution in a pair of cute but sensible shoes instead of those flashy, pricey, impractical Manolo Blahniks. Kim Masters, NPR News.